Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for coming to the Shir. We are approaching Parshas Yisro, and although maybe more famous for Matan Torah, but in the beginning of Parshas Yisro, Yisro sees the judicial system of Moshe. And this evening, I want to use the Parsha as a springboard for the halachic system in general, and ask the question, who is entitled to Paskin? And coupled with that question is, who is entitled to Paskin, which types of questions? And we'll see that it really flows very naturally from the way that Yisro advises Moshe how to set up the courts. And we'll learn some Gemara, some Rishonim, and more contemporary writings from Moshe Feinstein and Rav Schechter. So here we go. When Yisro saw that Moshe was being spread too thin, he said, you can't judge the people alone. Rather, you have to appoint numerous judges. And in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, in the beginning of the Parsha, it says, V'ata techeze mikola am anshe chayo, yirei elokim anshe emes onevatsa. So there is a set of criteria here for who the proper judges should be. V'samta aleim sari alafim sari meos sari chamishim v'sari asaros, essentially a hierarchy. And the Torah says Moshe does this a few psukim later, V'yivchar Moshe anshe chayo mikol Yisrael. Right, so there was a setup where you could have one judge overseeing 10 or 50 or 100 or, you know, thousands. But finally, on the top is Moshe. Moshe was the one who would get, we'll say, the toughest shilas. So Rashi explains some of these details. What does that mean to have, be an anshei chayil in that category? Is rich, ashirim. This way, what's the advantage if you're a wealthy judge? You're not going to be tempted by bribery. Anshe emes. So these are people, interestingly, so Rashi says we can rely upon them. And people trust them, right? If you're trustworthy, people will listen to what you have to say. And here's a key one, sone batza. Sone batza, what does that mean? That they hate getting money awarded to them in din. Sonim es mamonim bedin. Now, the Ramban quotes a machlokas tanaim in the Mechilta. The first opinion is that of Rabbi Yoshua, as Rashi quoted. They hate money, receiving money for judging. But Rabbi Eliezer Modai says an amazing pshat. What do you think it means that they hate betza or some form of profit? They're not into money in general. They're not people who like money. Elu shein sonin mamon atzman. They actually hate their own money. How does that help you become a judge? So what do you think that means? If you're one to kind of hate money in general, you're not at least obsessed with money at a minimum. But here it literally means they hate their own money. So seemingly what? That will allow them to what? Not be materialistic. Because if they don't love their own money, Kal v'chomer, they're not going to be tempted by any form of bribing. But then the Ramban has his own pshati. That was after quoting the Mechilta. V'alderech ha-pshat. Well, you know what it means? Anshe emes or sone batza? Shem ohavim ha-emes v'sonim ha-oshek. These are just honest people who have principles, and they just love the truth. It's like a lawyer who becomes a lawyer because he genuinely has a passion for honesty.
Does someone like that?
So, you know, it's a naive thing to say, obviously. I'm saying it intentionally because people should love the law. And that, says the Ramban, should drive the motive of a judge. They just love the truth. When you speak about fighting for justice and fighting crime, says the Ramban, that's who a dayan really is. It's not about their own profit. They just are driven by a sense of conviction. When they see Oshek or Hamas, ein da'atam sovelototo, it irks them to the core. Aval kol chafsam lahatzil gozel miad Oshek. They really want to help people and serve justice to the community. It's an amazing thing. Beautiful. Okay. So that's Rashi and the Ramban describing the qualities of a judge.
Now, knowledge.
Okay, now very good. So Adam's pointing out the most ironic thing is that what's missing from this list is wisdom. Now you could argue because it's what? It's obvious, something like that. And again, you know, the Mefarshim do, you know, there's a big discussion about some of the details here. All right, but Adam is making a very good point that ironically knowledge is not unless it's a fantastic point, Adam. Now, the Sforno is the main commentator this evening for our shir, because when you look at the Sforno, he says it's just black on white, where there are different judges for different type of psak. He says, listen, Moshe, you're going to need to do certain things, obviously. You're the only one who can answer certain questions. But there should be a hierarchy with lower tier judges. And if the people don't really appreciate those judges, they'll go to the higher level. And then the higher level and the higher level. And there's a tier system. And the whole idea was to free up Moshe's time. And we'll go back to the Sforno at the end. But what emerges from this Parsha, according to the Sforno, and really according to just the Pesukim themselves, but again, we'll elaborate on the Sforno at the end of this year, Bezras Hashem, is that different rabbis can handle different types of shilas. It's a very logical thing to say, right? But it's not only in the Parsha. We're going to learn this evening now. It's a real halacha. And what we're going to do now is that we're going to learn a few Mishnayos and halacha. We'll ask a question, we'll point out that there's the halacha acknowledges two completely different categories of rabbi. Here it is. Mishnah Meseches Nida, back-to-back Mishnayos and Memtesamid Beis. Kol haro'i ladon dinei nefashos. If you are qualified to judge a case where someone might get the death sentence, a capital case, so ro'i ladon dinei mamonos, you're certainly qualified to judge monetary cases. But the opposite is not true, right? Meaning you could be qualified to judge a monetary case, it does not mean you can judge dinei nefashos. Similarly, this next Mishnah, the same daf, kol kosher ladun, kosher leheid. If you're good enough, qualified to be a judge, certainly you could be a witness. But guess what? There are people who are qualified to be aid, but they're not qualified to be a judge. Good. So that's very nice. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Shulchan Aruch Chosh Mishmet Simen Zayin, there are halachas about who's fit to be a dayan. You might need to be a certain age, machlokas. Maybe you need to be 18, maybe 13. A woman, passing the Shulchan Aruch, is psula. A woman is not allowed to be a dayan, to sit on a beis din, on a form of halacha court. And you know what? The Shulchan Aruch paskin, similar to this parsha, where a beis din of three men need to have, every one of them need to have the following seven character traits. Now, Adam, what's the first trait here? Chachma. Okay, here in the Shulchan Aruch, they caught your question. Chachma, but anava, humility. Yira, siras mamon, ahavas ha-emes, right? You literally see the parsha come to life in the Shulchan Aruch, where they hate money and they love truth. Ahavas ha-brios lehem, people love them, or they love people. Ba'alei shem tov, they have a good reputation. So black on white, you have a concept of halachic criteria to be a dayan, to be a judge in Beis Din. Good. Here's the issue. Can anyone think of someone in Tanakh who is both unqualified yet served to be a judge of all of Klal Yisrael? Devorah. There it is. Shomrei Torah. I got it right away. Didn't beat an eyelash. Unbelievable. Okay, so AB already has an answer that it was one time limited heter because it's what Klal Yisrael needed at the time. Very good. So Tosfos in a few places in Shas deal with the question of how in the blazes was Devorah able to be the shofet, so to speak, over all of Klal Yisrael? She is a woman, therefore she's unfit to be a dayan. So, v'hi shofta et Yisrael, shoftim perek dalet. Answers Tosfos on Shavuos, an amazing answer. Ika lemeimar, shahaita melamedet lehem hadinim. She wasn't a formal dayan. What did she do? She was an educator. Now let's not use any controversial terms here. She wasn't a dayan. She was a teacher. Ooh. Now, to AB's credit, the second answer was, since she was a Nevi'ah, they listened to whatever she had to say. Much more in line with what you were saying, AB. Like, listen, if Hashem says it's good enough, you know, who are we to disagree with Hashem? But we're not going to go with the second answer right now. Right now, let's focus on the first answer, because the first answer is going to have real halachic weight to it. There's a concept of being an educator and not being a dayan, which means you might be unqualified to be a dayan, but doesn't mean you can't teach Torah. Doesn't mean you're a woman. Okay, but you know what? Let's say you're really educated. You're a really qualified woman who knows how to learn on a very high level. What, you can't teach Torah because of that? All right, you can't sit on a beis din. But Devorah, says Tosfos, was able to teach. And she taught the leading rabbis, right? Meaning any gadol would go to Devorah. And this emerges from the Sefer HaChinuch as well. The Achronim, on a halachic level, We'll quote the Sefer HaChinuch, because the Sefer HaChinuch says in Mitzvah Pei Gimel, there the Isser being discussed that you're not allowed to take a bribe as a judge. And who does this mitzvah apply to? Says the Sefer HaChinuch, only men, because they're the judges, right? I mean, the Sefer HaChinuch knows that a woman is not allowed to be a judge on a court. But guess what the Sefer HaChinuch also says? Later on, in Parsha Shmini, Mitzvah Kufnun Beis, there he's discussing the Isser for a person to come into the Beis HaMikdash if they're drunk, and for a person to give a psak din if they're drunk. So says the Sefer HaChinuch, where I underlined it, right there by the dots. V'noeg Isser b'yas mikdash b'shichus b'zman habayis b'zichar muvin akevos. Men and women alike are prohibited from entering the Beis HaMikdash while they're drunk. And who's not allowed to paskin? Who's not allowed to teach when they're drunk? Men and women. Meaning, in the same way a woman's allowed to teach Torah when she's sober, she's not allowed to teach Torah when she's drunk. V'chein b'isha chachama haru'uya lahoros. Says Sefer HaChinuch, if a woman is very wise and is accustomed to teaching Torah, so that is no longer allowed if she's drunk. Wow. Wow. So wait a minute. The same Sefer HaChinuch who said that a woman's not allowed to be a dayan is now acknowledging a halachic reality that a woman might be a chachama haru'uya lahoros. So very similar to Tosfos, and this is how this Sefer HaChinuch will be brought down the halacha. Namely, a woman has the ability to teach Torah. There's no isser for a person to teach Torah if they know Torah. Okay? So who makes this chilik? The Birkei Yosef, known as the Chida. The Chida in Choshen Mishpat Siman Zayin over there, where the Shulchan Aruch is discussing the qualifications of a dayan, he brings down this lamdas over here. He says, listen, a woman can't be a judge, but she's able to teach. It's from Tosfos. It's in the Sefer HaChinuch. And the Pesachei Tshuva quotes the Birkei Yosef. Pesachei Tshuva, one of the most mainstream poskim in Shulchan Aruch. And he says everything I just said. He basically quotes the Chida, the Birkei Yosef, verbatim. And then he says, look at the Shaarei Tshuva. That's what the Pesachei Tshuva adds. He says, look at the Shaarei Tshuva. You know what the Shaarei Tshuva is discussing over there? It's the next Makor on the sheet. Hilchos Pesach. Now, men have limitations. There are certain types of leavening that is an iser kares, because it's chametz, and there's certain quote-unquote bumps in your matzah that are totally fine. And you know what the Shaarei Tshuva says? You're allowed to ask an expert in the kitchen to use their experience to decide what kind of leavening are we looking at over here. So you know what, says the Shaarei Tshuva, ask women who know what they're talking about. Shem regilot b'masa ofev, they're used to baking. V'im yadu b'yoser, l'hafkun l'havdo b'en ha'nefichah shemach masa or. So they'll know if the swelling is just fire stuff, u'ben ha'nefichah shemach masa chimutz. Or if this is a swelling due to literal chametz problems. And he says, that's what happens all the time. You have a kasher shayla, you don't know what to do, you never saw a chicken with this type of blood spot or whatever. You ask the person who knows what they're talking about. Ask the women who deal with the chickens in the kitchen. They know what's a normal thing to see in the kitchen, what's a non-normal thing to see in the kitchen. They are better equipped to answer questions about the chickens. And we, says the Shaarei Tshuva, we're not asking them to paskin. We're asking them to clarify. So over here, what we have just done, we have created three distinct categories. There's Dayanus. It's one very high madrega to be on. There's what we're going to call a more hora'a, someone who's qualified to educate. Loaded term over there we'll have to talk about. And then the lowest level, but a very important level, is someone who knows what they're talking about. Someone who knows what they're talking about. Or say, expert. An expert. So a lot of times a rabbi will need to know a urologist, bris milah shaylos. You might know hilchos milah, you don't know anything about the case. A rabbi needs to know OBGYNs. Hilchos nidah, all that stuff. You need to know who to call. You need the expert in the field. You know, during COVID, every rabbi had a medical team, right? And by the way, where do women play a huge role when it comes to bug checking, right? lettuce. And okay, so you want a paskin based on Mishkanos, Yaakov's, and Rove, whatever. All right. So maybe the Rabbanim or the people who know the sugyos well need to clarify the halacha. But ultimately, people who have experience in the kitchen who know this brand of lettuce is always clean. You don't need to wash that type. That triple washed, they do a good triple washed. And that triple washed is bufkis. So you know what? The people who know what they're talking about know what they're talking about. So that's the third category. Beautiful. Okay. So that is what we've established from Shas. But what we're going to do now is try to point out that this chiluk comes out in the Shulchan Aruch also. And in the same way that Tosfos made the chiluk, and the Sefer Chinuch made the chiluk, and the Rishonim, Tosfos the Sefer Chinuch, I'm going to, I think, give pshat in the Shulchan Aruch like this also. You can tell me if you think I'm wrong. But I think it's pshat in the Shulchan Aruch. It's in the Rambam like this, based on the different categories of Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam. Same chiluk, same split between a Dayan versus a Mor Hora. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah tries to darshan up Pasuk in Mishlei, which speaks about people falling or dying. Ki rabim chalolim hipila. Many people basically died because of her. Vatsumim kol hurugen. Many people died because of her. Again, not going into the context of the Pasuk in Mishlei about the victims of, we'll say, znus and a woman leading people to do bad things. It's not, you know, whatever. Totally out of context over here. But the Gemara darshans that Pasuk and says the following. What does that Pasuk mean? What does it mean that many people have fallen prey? Zet Talmud shelo higia lahora'a. It's talking about a student who has not yet arrived, achieved that level of teaching. Umora, but he teaches anyway. Jump the gun. He has fallen prey. He's compared to a victim, a dead body, because he did something really, really bad. He fell prey to maybe a temptation to paskin too early, where he should not have. And what is the end of the pasuk talking about? A different type of victim? It's a Talmud shehigia lahora'a ve'eino mora. Someone who was qualified to teach halacha and never did. Both extremes are bad. The unqualified guy who pretended to be a rabbi and the potential rabbi who had the ability to paskin and kept his mouth too quiet. Unbelievable. So this Gemara comes up in a few places in Avodah Zarah and Maseches Sotah. The Gemara Maseches Sotah just adds one line because the Gemara says, well, when are you higia lahora? Here are you, did you arrive at this age or you didn't arrive at this age? The Gemara says it's age 40. I but Rabba only, he died at 40 and he was Rabba. So the Gemara says, no, well, he achieved that level much earlier on. Right? So meaning it's not about the age, it's about the right, it's about the mileage, right? Now, very nicely said, A.B. Right? Meaning, you know, when Rabba was, you know, 13, he was probably pretty darn above average, right, on his report card, right? So it's not about an age per se. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins like this, but where does he paskin like this? Yordei Reish Mem Beis. That's Hilchos Tam HaTorah. So I want to argue that we're about to learn, again, is that same split. We're not talking about Hilchos Dayanus anymore. We're talking about people who can just teach halacha. Talmud shel yigil ha'ora mora. Guess what the Shulchan Aruch says? And by the way, he's quoting the Rambam. Shulchan is the Lashon of Rambam. Someone who is not really qualified to paskin, and he paskins anyway, how he's a shote, rasha, the gas ruach, right? So the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, by extension, elaborates on the Gemara, right? You're haughty, you're a rasha, you're foolish. And guess what the Rambam says? You have these young little kids, you know what they do? They are so eager to paskin, to go ahead of the other rabbis, to look impressive in front of the masses. It only leads to machlokes, and they're machri of the olam. They destroy the world, says the Ramah. Wow. And the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch are speaking to people who have a temptation that they need to fight, they need to overcome. People who want to put themselves out there. They want to show that they are capable. They want to show that they have worthy, that they have worth, that they're worthy. But they jump the gun. And there could be devastating consequences because of this Yetzirah. Wow. But guess what? In the very next step of Shulchan Aruch says the opposite is true also. If you had the ability to teach and you didn't, you're preventing Torah from Yisrael. You're leading people to sin because you could have clarified the halacha for them and you didn't. Wow. And the Ramah says that's the whole idea of smicha b'zmanezeh. You want people to know who has the capability and the authority to answer questions, right? We don't have a quote-unquote real smicha anymore. But we want people to know who has quote-unquote smicha. Right? So the Rambam says the whole idea of smicha nowadays. Wow. Unbelievable idea. Unbelievable idea. So we're learning, again, if I'm not mistaken, the Shulchan Aruch is not talking about dayanim, who can sit in a beis din. He's talking about who's qualified to pask in shilas. Not in beis din. Seemingly, if a person goes to a rabbi looking for a psak about milk and meat in their own kitchen, they don't need a beis din. They need a rav. So the Rama says, if you're a young smicha student and you jump the gun and you didn't have enough shimush yet, you could destroy the whole world. And then the Shulchan Aruch also says, yeah, but if you know the answer and you keep your mouth shut, that's not good either. Very, 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 very tricky. And the Pesachei Tshuva over there on the spot in Sivkot Ches says, you know what, we have a problem. Because nowadays we have this thing called the Shulchan Aruch. So what?
Google.
We have Google, we have the Shulchan Aruch. And it's very beautiful. Because people have so much access to knowledge. But you know what? What if I give you access to knowledge and you don't know how to interpret the knowledge, right? People who ask ChatGPT, a halachic shaila, you know, but ChatGPT doesn't know when you ask them, do I have to fast today? They don't know that you have an eating disorder. And that if you fast on, sorry, but Davis, you could die. It's not funny. You need someone who knows who's asking the question. If someone has OCD and they're asking Amara Shaila in Dam Nida for like the 11th time that night, a Rav needs to kick that person in the back and say, hello, like I told you this is mutter. You know, there's so many subtleties to psak and the interpersonal relationship. So you know what? The Shulchan Aruch tells everyone what the halacha is, right? So you know the Marsha says, people who only learn Shulchan Aruch but they don't know the background, it's going to lead to tremendous mistakes. And you have to protest against them. But the Pesachei Tshuva responds, that was back then. In the days of the Maharsha, the Shulchan Aruch was a standalone sefer. What happened since then? The Magen Avraham was written, and the Taz, and the Shach. And he doesn't say, but the Pesachei Tshuva wrote his own sefer, right? Meaning when you learn the Shulchan Aruch, you don't just learn the Shulchan Aruch anymore. What do? You get all the background. Right? When you learn the Rambam nowadays, the Ketzer Mishnah will tell you, well, the Rambam's quoting this Gemara, he's quoting that Gemara. And, you know, you look at the Rambam with the Nosei Kalim, you get a whole world. Look at the Shulchan Aruch and you get the Nosei Kalim, you have a whole world. So therefore, it says the Pesachei Tshuva, nowadays it's okay to paskin based on the Shulchan Aruch and the Achronim. Because you get the background. You get the background you need. Unbelievable idea. So what we need to realize is that Pesach is no laughing matter. Because there you even had the Maharsha saying the Shulchan Aruch is not good enough to paskin. Like, unbelievable idea. So I wanted to now maybe zoom out a little bit and point out like this. Listen, Rabbanim need to know how to paskin themselves. And in contrast to the Rabbanim who need to know how to paskin, the Hamo and Am need to know how to ask, who to ask, and when to ask. Right? There's a very, very important, we'll say, duality here that's not limited to just one person. So I wanted to just point out that there's a Bach. Sheet of the Bach. And it's a little bit different than everything else we're learning right now, but it's related, obviously. The Bach says, your temperament also matters. Umisha Meitzar, let's say you're distressed. Ve'ein Daitom Yushevas Alav, you're not in a good place mentally. Al Yore B'Sha'a Shumeitzar, don't paskin right now. Unbelievable idea. It's a Tosfos based on Gemara Yushalmi. To me, this Chasidus, to anyone who's a Baal Hora, anyone giving Psak Alacha, don't teach if you are under any of those issues in a Gemara in Erevin. What? What Gemara in Erevin? The Gemara in Erevin there is talking about what? Davening. Saying when you're not in a good place mentally, don't daven. If you're angry, don't daven. Whoa. So what's interesting is that the Bach is paskening, I'll be midas chasid, it's not necessarily a pialacha, that in the same way you need the right headset for tefillah, you need the right headset for piskei halacha, which means you might be able to paskin, but you know what? You might need to say to the person, I need a half hour just to cool off, right? You need to also know when to ask the question, right? Meaning it's a very, very important concept when we speak about doctors being rated for their bedside manner, right? You want the people to continue asking halachic shilas. So if you brush them off or you come off as irritated, you come off as if it's a nuisance to answer, you're going to send people running away. It's very important to not do that. Because we all know that when a rabbi makes you feel intelligent and welcome and like $1 million, you're going to be more likely to ask the question again. So in the same way that you're going to go back to a doctor who made you feel good, as opposed to rushing you out of his office and didn't give you the proper time of day. And that's exactly what Yisro was trying to do this week's parsha. What did Yisro tell Moshe? You're taking on too many cases. You're taking on too many cases. You're going to get burnt out. Yisro told Moshe, by the way, did I say Korach before? Hope not. Sometimes I make mistakes. I always get Lavan and Bilam mixed up. And for some reason, I always get Korach and Yisro mixed up. So this week's parsha is Yisro. I hope I didn't say Korach before. And anytime I mention like a member of this week's parsha, it was about Yisro and Moshe. But, you know, just a little bit of qualification. So Yisro is telling that exact thing to Moshe. Unbelievable idea. So let's learn a little bit about some more contemporary stuff of where this came up. Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Schechter. Rav Moshe Feinstein, in his Hagdama to the Igros Moshe, he quotes some of the Gemaras we mentioned this evening. And he says, who has the chutzpah to paskin? What does the Gemara say? That if you're unqualified to paskin, and you teach anyway, it's really, really bad. Like, you're compared to like a murderer almost, right? That's not good. But you also have to paskin if you are qualified. So you know Rabbi Akiva Eger, apparently, it's written, I couldn't find it, but when his sons or sons-in-law, his children, published the Tshuva of Rabbi Akiva Eger, in the Hakdama, they wrote that Rabbi Akiva Eger himself didn't really want a paskin. He didn't think that he was in the category of Higia Lahora. Let me say that one more time. Rabbi Akiva Eger was not convinced that he was in the category of Higia Lahora. He wasn't sure if he was qualified. It's one of the biggest rabbis to ever live. Rabbi Akiva Eger. Whoa. So Moshe Feinstein says, well, now I got a real problem. Because if Rabbi Akiva Eger did not feel confident that he was qualified to paskin the shilas that he was receiving, but he had to, because people were asking him shilas, and again, you're not allowed to not paskin if you are capable and you're qualified. So what do? You have to answer. So it says Rav Moshe, if Akiva Eger had to paskin, because he had to. So he said, well, what am I supposed to do? He says, I need to paskin also. And he quotes the Gemara about Lo Bashemayimi, and he says, listen, Hashem gave the Torah to man, right? And you know what? It's up to me, I guess, sometimes to look into the sugya and to tell you what I think is my psak, and I guess that's what I need to do. Whoa. Every generation has their rabbanim, and that's how he comes out. And he says, listen, I have an obligation to do this because every generation has their rabbis. And he says, the chachamim in every generation, yesh lach shivam higiyu lahora. Every generation has their poskim. Wow. Oh my gosh. So that's what he says. He goes on and on and on. And he says, I really worked very, very hard on the sugyos. And that's the only thing a rav can really say. I worked hard enough. He says, you get really punished by Hashem if you paskin something without having put in the necessary effort to learn the sugya. But he said, you know, I think I learned it, and what can I do? I got to give answers. He says, the kaven shebasa et slohi mitzvah shelo imu rashai lahoros. If the questions are coming to you, you have to answer if you're qualified. He says, that's why I gave all these piske halacha when people ask me questions. But here's a part of the Igros Moshe's Hakdama that people often don't quote. The part that I just quoted is relatively often quoted, and it makes sense. Like he's saying, listen, I don't feel so comfortable, but I got to do what I got to do. And I think it's okay. I think it's mutter. If you look at Shas wants rabbis to paskin. And he said, look, David HaMelech, he got really, dirty, you know, shilas of neither. We had to look at all these different maros of women, whatever. And Ramosha says, why didn't David just have someone else do it? It was the king. He said, you know why? They were asking him. And he felt like it was his mitzvah. he wanted to do the mitzvah that he got the opportunity to do. Good. But you know what? Then Rav Moshe, he said, it would also bring a lot of nachas to my Abba. Says, V'gam sheyesh b'zeh nachas ruach l'avi mori. Says, my father told me that he was confident in me. And that if I started the paskin, it would lead to more Torah growth. That I love. Right? Meaning, who knows what Rav Moshe would have been or what he would never have become if not for the encouragement of his father. Whoa. Unbelievable idea. Now, here's the issue. We need to talk about the slightly bad version of the sugya. We went through the sugya just now. We pointed out there's a difference between a dayan and a mora halacha. Pointed out that, okay, if you know your stuff, you kind of have to paskin, assuming you have the right midos, and Rav Moshe Feinstein felt that he was qualified. Even though he wasn't qualified, he was qualified for, you know, in light of the generation. Very nice. And he put in the hard work, and he responded to those who asked him. But you know what? Not everyone has Rav Moshe Feinstein's anava, right? One of the character traits of a mora halacha was humility. What happens when people do use ChatGPT? And what happens when people are too quick to answer questions like the Rama said? Those youngsters who put themselves out there because they want to prove themselves. So unfortunately, that's happened, where people gave their psak when they were not qualified. And Rav Hershel Schechter Shlita had to put them in their place. It is now the Hebrew date of Tufshin Pei Dalet, but in Tufshin Ayin Dalet, 10 years ago, there were three rabbis who weighed in on Aguno Shilos. There was an international organization to help women remarry, even though they never received a get. And without going into the whole tshuva, Rav Schechter says they made a tremendous mistake. Tremendous mistake. He says the following. This was in Tufshin Ayin Hey. The chutzpah gedolahi. It was a tremendous chutzpah that these three rabbis joined this organization and were mater and aguna. He says, you know, they used to bring these shilas before Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector and Rav Chaim Ozer and Rav Moshe Feinstein because they were the gedolei hador. But here's this key term. The usher le stam rabbanim. An average rabbi is not allowed to weigh in on Hilchos Aguno shilas. Okay, you want to look up a Mishnah Brura maybe. It's one thing. You want to look up a English Hilchos Brachos Sefer. One thing. Doesn't mean you could matir an aguna or help someone convert to Judaism. Different levels of shilas. That was in Tufshin Ayin Hey, but the year before, Tufshin Ayin Dalet. We're not going to give the historical backup. That was when things were really exciting. And Rav Schechter had to come out and write a tshuva for a reason. For whatever it was at the time. My memory is hazy, obviously, at this moment. We're intentionally going to forget what happened. But ultimately, what did Rav Schechter need to do? He said the same thing. He said, you know what halach is not? It's not hefker. It's like in a field where anyone who could just come and get it. He says, no. People are so excited to publicize their piske halacha in the newspapers, the internet. No. He says, Elef nichlasim lebeis ha-midrash, says the midrash. 1,000 can enter the Beis HaMidrash, and how many come out with the ability to paskin? One. And that person, guess what he does? He's the one who spent time being Meshamesh his Rebbe. V'kibel b'damo uvenafsho is divrei HaTorah. And that's quote-unquote with the Nisuin of the Gemara. The Nisuin with the Halacha. Not just Erisin. He's fully engaged. He's fully married. And not just engaged. But he's enveloped in the Torah. And he says, you know what my Rebbe of Soloveitchik used to say? He said, everyone needs to know. She called Adam Tzarech Lahakir, She Tzarech L'Rav, a Rebbe. Everyone needs a Rebbe. And even a Talmud Chacham, whose Rebbe died, needs a Rebbe. Whoa. And you need to ask yourself, what would my Rebbe really have said? You need to always ask him, what would my Rebbe have said if he was alive? Wow, what does Hashem want from me? Unbelievable idea. Unbelievable. So Rav Schechter basically two times, relatively recently, felt the need to write that people made this error and were too quick to paskin when they were not qualified. Fascinating stuff. But as I said, I wanted to come full circle to the Sforno. without going inside. But according to the Sforno, the whole idea was that, you know who was waiting online all day to ask Moshe a question? Not the people, but the rabbis. Because the rabbis didn't feel qualified to paskin. So the people were waiting to ask the Shaila. But first, Moshe had to give the answer to the rabbis because they were dealing with community issues. And therefore, you know what? The whole point of the Parsha Yisro was to make a very good system with a real hierarchy that actually worked. Where yes, some Shailas go to your local Rav, and some go to the higher level Rav, and some to the Gadol Hador. But you know what? Mikam Yisrael, what do we learn from this week's Parsha? All of Klal Yisrael were what? Asking the Shailas. And I think that the rabbis need to do the best job possible to encourage people to ask questions. And Mika Amcha Yisrael, that so many people do ask the questions. You know, just recently, Rav Markowitz is in Florida. You know, you get, you know, I was a little bit more quote-unquote on call just to see who asks what type of questions. It's an amazing, amazing, amazing thing. And it's such a beautiful thing to see the questions coming through. And everyone should be encouraged to ask whichever Rav they feel comfortable with. Baruch Hashem, Maferlin, no shortage of Rabbanim. And every rabbi here at Baruch Hashem also knows his place. We know when to look to our own Rabbanim, the Y.A. Rosh Yeshiva. Want to get a clarification or a verification. We should all be zocha to live life al pi the Torah Kedoshah.